Welcome back. And in this week's Position Spotlight, we are breaking down the Browns linebackers. Matt Wilhelm has joined us. You have a little bit of expertise in this area, maybe a Super Bowl ring to go along with that. Let's talk about the linebackers for this year's team. And who do we expect to start and what kind of battles do you think we'll see?
It's a great group of guys. It's a deep group of guys. And I think as you look at the inside linebackers, I think Carlos Dansby was playing at a Pro Bowl level last year, got hurt, missed some games, probably missed out on making a trip to Hawaii to play in the Pro Bowl. And the guy next to him, I think, is going to be kind of by committee, as we saw last year. Craig Robertson coming back with a great year. Chris Kirksey really emerged, 75 tackles as a rookie in the National Football League. Highly impressive. He's been impressive in OTAs and minicamps as well. Tank Carter, a guy predominantly going to be on special teams, but really showed out in OTAs and minicamp as well, and maybe secured his spot as the fourth inside linebacker on this roster. As you look at the outside, Paul Kruger, 11.5 sacks last year. We look for double digits again from him on the outside, rushing the passer. I think Barkevious Mingo graded extremely well. Not the best individual to get to the passer. That's where Scott Solomon, and the reason why we drafted Nate Orchard as high as we did, is going to make an impact opposite Paul Kruger.
Yeah, I think when you look at these inside linebackers, the battle's at number four. Dansby, Robertson, Kirksey are set. And I think Kirksey this year is going to try. The coaches want him to surpass Robertson. But Craig Robertson is a great team player. He knows what he's supposed to do. He can fill in at both of those inside linebacker positions and did so very, very effectively. I think you look at, you talked about your guy Tank Carter, and then Hayes Pollard, who they drafted out of USC. He's competing, and Darius Eubanks coming back from that shoulder surgery, a former safety in college. He can really cover, so he brings another element there. That's going to be a big battle for that four spot. Outside, it's the four guys you mentioned, Kruger and Orchard, and then Mingo and Solomon. Barkevious Mingo, the sixth overall pick, he's great at dropping. You don't draft a guy sixth overall to be a drop outside linebacker. They need to see him get to the quarterback this year. He didn't have two shoulders last year, only had one, so he played hurt. That's admirable. But this is the year he needs to take a big leap. The bullseye is on him in training camp.
All right, let's go back on Kruger. Why was Kruger so much more successful last year with a new coaching regime? And what can Mingo do? Let's bring this up, too. What can Mingo do to be better next year?
Well, I thought Kruger was featured rushing the passer 96% of the time. He's going to get all the opportunities to rush a passer. And Barkevious Mingo, over the course of time, just evolved into the dropper of those outside linebackers. Every 3-4 defense has a guy that excels at rushing the passer, and the other guy does kind of the both. Whereas that's why the addition of Nate Orchard and Scott Solomon, everybody kind of does one thing better than the next, and they're going to be used in situational football. So Kruger will be the mainstay, and the packages that we bring in Mingo and Solomon, probably going to be the stop the run, Mingo in evident passing situations, and you hope the emergence of Nate Orchard just allows him to pin his ears back and go after the passer.
Yeah, so talk a little bit more about Orchard, too, because I don't know, nobody really knows, and what are we going to see?
Yeah, out of Utah in the Pac-12, 18.5 sacks last year when he went one-on-one with Andres Pete, the 13th overall pick, and some thought the best tackle in draft, had 3.5 sacks in that game. So he can get to the quarterback. Last year, he lined up standing up, but most of the time with a hand on the ground, so he's got a little bit of a transition to make there. But I think he's the heir apparent to Paul Kruger. I think they're going to put him in that rush linebacker position ultimately. But this is a group that has to get after it. And when outside linebackers in the 3-4 are the most effective, it's when both of them can do everything. You look at Baltimore, you have Terrell Suggs and Elvis Dumervil both getting to the quarterback. And if the Browns can get in that situation, because they're going to stop the run and earn the right to rush the passer, these outside linebackers can put up some big numbers in this defense.
All right, what's the most valuable piece of information you can give from a guy that spent a lot of time in the league at linebacker to a guy like Orchard? What did you learn that's so important that these guys need to know if you could put your arm around them and say, this is going to make you successful?
Sure. As a rookie, I would be having a conversation with my position coach and Jim O'Neill, the defensive coordinator, almost every single day asking, how was my practice? Almost like the little kid looking up for, you know, admiration from their parents. How did I do today? What can I fix? And all those things at this point in the offseason can only help him be where we want to be week one and be a potential slash starter. And when he comes in, he is ready. He can communicate in all that graduate level defense that we know we're going to see in our second year of this system, that he's able to go out there and you don't miss a beat. You don't feel like you need that veteran in Mingo or a guy like Scott Solomon to come in there, that you can rely on a rookie, which we really should for where he was drafted this year.
And the good news is, talking to outside linebacker coach Brian Fleury, he gets texts and phone calls from Nate Orchard at all hours of the night, driving his wife a little bit crazy. But Nate Orchard wants to learn, constantly studying, and wants to at least be mentally prepared so he has an opportunity to go make plays on Sundays.
All right, maybe we still get a little legs out of you. You could go, I don't know, at least one game. You got a half in you, don't you?
I've got a charity flag football game tomorrow night. I'll get my run tomorrow.
He's all like Gronk, uncoverable.
Right, let's get some Gatorade in you so you can play. All right, Matt, thank you very much. We always appreciate it. More Dog Pound Report coming up right after this.
When we return, we bring you our social post of the week. Stay tuned for more Dog Pound Report.